headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show talking some Penn State football. Dustin Hockensmith and Ross Tucker. We're here. We're going to wrap up Ross's series ranking Penn State's position group rankings. And I'm going to do this one more time just to give a recap the whole way through. 12 through 4, we're going to finish off with number 1 through 3 going in reverse order. Just to, you know, you expressed a little bit of maybe you would change things or maybe you think about some of these positions a little bit differently. But for the most part, this is what we got. Number 12 were tight ends. There's no change there from blue-white. We don't know anything more about tight ends now than we did going in. 11 were specialists, 10 linebackers, 9 safeties, 8 defensive tackles, 7 were running backs, 6 were special teams units, coverage return, 5 were wide receivers, and 4 were cornerbacks, and here we are.
And, you know, the one thing I will say positive for Penn State tight end is they're going to have 5 scholarship tight ends. Holland, Bowers, Freiermuth, Kuntz, and
Dalton,
who's gotten the most of the reps.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really want to see true freshmen playing at really any position, but especially at tight end, I think. But you got to have some confidence that out of 5 scholarship tight ends – that at least one of those guys will give him some pretty you know, significant snaps and some pretty solid snaps. I mean, what are the chances that they've got 5 guys and none of them can give them – now, they're not going to be Kosicki, I don't think, but they should be able to give him quality snaps, I think.
And it's a position, you know, it's interesting to kind of wonder, and linebackers too, is how much schematically you can do to try to mask those positions. It's not something that James Franklin would want to do, and I know he's obviously a big believer in the blocking capability of a tight end. He used a phrase in the past, if you're not blocking, then you're just a slow wide receiver. But, you know, I think Zach Kuntz, for example, would be a really good slow wide receiver if asked to do that. Let's look at offensive line, and it's not a far cry from tight ends where you're asked to do so much and you're asked to be more physical and block guys that you've never really had to see before in high school. So it's no wonder that both of these positions that ideally you're waiting 2 years before you see the field. The offensive line, I think fans have waited a long time, and I think that last year, Ross, James Franklin may have gotten ahead of himself by singing the praises of this group a little too soon. I think maybe part of it was that publicly he wanted to express the confidence that maybe they didn't have in themselves. This year, I think 2018 the arrival year.
And I think he also felt like those guys did a good job in 2016, and they had been beaten down for so many years. I mean, the 2 years prior to that were just disgusting. And they've been beaten down so much. I think he wanted to help build them up and make sure people respected what they did. Because 2016, with all the injuries they had, and late in the year playing guys like Gonzalez and Chaz Wright and still finding a way to win big games and score a lot of points. I said it before, I'll say it again. I thought last year was a step back for the offensive line. They were pretty healthy. It's pretty disappointing that they stepped back the way that they did. They hoped to bounce back. You know, you lose Brendan Mann, who is a very good player. I think we've talked about Dustin. I personally think that they move guys around a little too much. And one of the things we didn't talk about really in the blue-white breakdown that we were talking about is we didn't really talk about the fact that they had Bates at left tackle.
Yep.
Ryan Bates only played left tackle. Chaz Wright only played right tackle. Fries is the one that switched sides. There had been a lot of talk, a lot of speculation, especially based on how the year ended, that it would be Fries at left tackle, Bates at right tackle, and Chaz Wright would be the swing guy. Evidently, that's not the case.
Yeah, I thought that to be true, too. And, you know, I thought it really established what their expectations and what their feelings were about Will Fries. But at the same time, I think if it's a close competition, you know, Chaz Wright's play a little bit more football. Maybe he ends up being the guy. And, you know, you do value in this situation a guy who can play both positions, especially for Penn State, who they've had injury issues at the tackle spots, each of the past 2 seasons for sure. You know, 2016 was the year that Paris Palmer had to come in there, and then he got hurt too, which is initially why Ryan Bates went to left tackle to begin with. Brendan Mann was at left tackle before that. And it's great to have these guys who have played guard and tackle who hold their own. I think what we're seeing on the offensive line is that it's not going to be this year, but really in the future, you've got some really true prototypical tackle prospects coming through. We're not going to see them yet. I'm looking, you know, more specifically in the 18 class with Nana Asidu and Rashid Walker. These are tackles through and through. There's guys who can really make the grade and maybe develop into pro prospects too. So I think as good as they could be this year, they've got the types of pieces coming through where they can keep getting better too.
I agree. I thought it was a really good sign that everybody and their brother keep singing the praises of Michael Mennett. He looked good. He's really the only new guy on the offensive line that's never played before, and he didn't really rotate out. I mean, they did move him over to center, and they bumped McGovern over to right guard a little bit to get a look at that combination, but it appears as if he has won the job. I mean, I guess there had been some talk about guys like C.J. Thorpe or Miranda. I mean, Miranda, I think they had playing center. C.J. Thorpe is not going to be ready based on his pass protection. And I would tend to think that if there was a chance that they wouldn't start Mennett, that they would have rotated somebody else in. Like, it looks to me like they feel like they have six guys, and the interior three are kind of set, and they've got Fries working with Wright and Bates at the tackle spots.
I have to believe that Mike Miranda is maybe a backup at a couple positions. I don't know. It just seems like he's got the ability to play multiple spots, and maybe if there's some shuffling around because of injury, he's a guy who could jump in there too. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show talking Penn State football. Spring position group rankings with Ross here. And I can't believe through the course of this whole show, Ross, I haven't gotten a chance to ask you about the new commit, Caden Wallace. I don't know if you got a chance to watch his tape yet or if you're saving that for a Tucker's tape down the road.
Saving that for Tucker's tape probably next week. I kind of thought, to be honest with you, that they might end up getting more commits out of the blue-white game than that have happened as of when you and I are talking right now. So we'll see if they end up getting any more. I know they were trying to hopefully get some momentum from it over the weekend. So I was thinking maybe some guys think about it after a few days. Maybe they get another commitment or two, and then we can hit that up for Tucker's tape. If not, we'll do a Caden Wallace Tucker's tape. Why not?
It'll be a good one. He's a good looking player. You know, I think that his frame is interesting because he's not just a huge guy. Like he's got big shoulders and he looks every bit of 6'5", 315, but he moves like he's about 250. He's an interesting player. I think what Rashid Walker and Nana Asidu are to the tackle positions, I think he can be to the guard positions. On the other side of the ball, defensive ends, this was about a year in the making because I thought last year was just a year too soon for several of these guys. And now in 2018, I think all the lumps and all the experience that was painful to pick up along the way, looking at your Shane Simmons and Shaka Tonys, those types of guys, It's about to pay off. Yitor Gross Matos, the depth is as good at this position as I've ever seen it at Penn State.
I think that's true. And it almost makes me wonder if they're going to be able to keep all those guys happy or if some of them end up transferring. I mean, you almost forget like Torrence Brown's still on the team, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you almost forget about some of these guys, but certainly Buckholz, Sharif Miller. I mean, these are guys. Think about this, by the way. Think about the D-line redshirt sophomores, all right? Sharif Miller, Kevin Givens, Robert Windsor, Ryan Buckholz. That's a pretty good haul there in that recruiting class to get four D-linemen who are all major contributors and might be starters. You know what I mean? That could conceivably be the starting lineup, and then you've got guys in the pipeline at redshirt freshmen like Shaka Tony, Shane Simmons. And I didn't even see Yitor Gross Matos on Saturday. Did he play at all?
I don't think he did. I have to go double check the box score, but I don't think he's I think if Cam Brown wasn't in that camp to you know, have quote unquote deserved to not need to see anything, I think Yitor Gross Matos has shown it a lot in practice and in games too. When you say the eligibility, you're looking backwards next year, this coming year, you can fast forward those. So the redshirt sophomores you mentioned will be redshirt juniors, the redshirt freshmen, Shaka Toney, and those guys will be redshirt sophomores.
Right.
But the point being that they're not even close to done yet. They're still in that sweet spot. There's eligibility beyond this season. So, which makes it even all the more interesting to have kind of ditched the idea of Ryan Buchholz being
we've talked about that. Yeah,
I know we've talked about it, but as you
I'm surprised the, you know what though, maybe in obvious passing downs, Dustin, we've talked about it, maybe they'll move him
they're in. They're gonna have to do it if this is there. It's such a position of strength, and it's such a discrepancy between where they're at here versus where they're at
right inside. And you want guys like that. He's got enough size that he can move inside, I think, be an effective pass rusher. I would imagine that he does that.
I think they can badger quarterbacks. You know, against Ohio State and Michigan State, that they came up short in that area. Some of these guys just weren't in a position to be playing deep in the games as many snaps as they were. But I think that's the kind of painful learning experience you need sometimes for some of these young guys. So I don't think that will be a problem this year. I think pass rush will not be the problem this year.
Yeah, and we know that the best defenses come at you in waves, and they got a chance to do that. I think especially if they move a guy like Buchholz inside in obvious passing downs.
And Micah Parsons, another contribution to that pass rush probably, something they didn't really have there before. And number one here on your list, we didn't leave a whole lot of time for it. I don't think there's a lot to be said necessarily here, but quarterbacks at number one, certainly when your number one is a Heisman Trophy contender, your number two hasn't been on the field as much, but it looks really good. And then we saw Sean Clifford at Blue White.
Yeah, they're in pretty good shape here. I do think it's curious to see if Jake Zembeck, if he stays in school, you know, or elects to see the writing on the wall, maybe with Sean Clifford being ahead of him. I don't know. We'll have to see how that unfolds. But Trace McSorley is just he's almost too good to be true at times. He never has a great Blue-White game, I feel like. But we see what he does during the season. I thought he was very solid on Saturday, as always. They're just very fortunate. I mean, if you think about it, going through position rankings, if you could be top three, if you could pick your top three position rankings – I would think you'd pick some combination of quarterback, O-line, and D-line. Now, you might pick D-tackle over D-end, but still.
Let's just say pass rush.
Yeah.
In this day and age, pass rush to be up there, which hasn't always been true.
And I thought Sean Clifford acquitted himself very well. Couldn't really run with the hamstring, but I thought for a number three, he looked pretty darn good. We know what Tommy Stevens can do. They are good at that position. They are deep at that position. And it looks like they got a pretty good chance of being pretty good there for a while, which is, if you're Penn State fans, you know, no Saquon, no Gesicki, but it's nice to still have those quarterbacks, especially McSorley.
And it's a good thing to feel good about. There you go. That's Ross's position group rankings coming out of the spring. Maybe we'll do it again sometime. You can always check these out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Thanks for tuning in with us. We'll see you next time. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
Hey Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all you can eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.